Pastor Troy King presents this life-changing message to encourage, inspire, and motivate you into your destiny. Get ready to receive this wave of glory from Pastor Troy King as it flows from heaven to minister to your spirit.
Amen. I want you to look at your neighbor with all the strength inside of you and say, neighbor, you got to understand the process. Oh, come on. Look at somebody that's going to touch and agree with you and say, neighbor, it's just part of the process. Oh, come on. Look at somebody behind you and encourage them and say, it's going to be all right. It's just part of the process. Because what you got to understand is the only thing that is happening right where you are, you're just going through the process. You may have been set back a little bit, but guess what? Even the setback is a part of God's process. Even everything that you've been dealing with is a part of God's plan for your life. It's a part of the process that you have to go through to get to your miracle. Oh, I wish I had a Holy Ghost church that would believe that the only thing they're dealing with right now is a process. You can be seated in the presence of God. He said, you have to understand the process. I might as well let the Holy Ghost flow. He said, you have to understand the process. You have to understand the time. So the reason some things are repeating itself, the reason why you're going through what you're going through, is because everybody got to go through the process. Oh, look at somebody and say, you ain't gonna get big overnight. But see, some of us just want to get to the next level just like that, not going through the process. Oh, see, some of us just want to pop like popcorn and pop up on the next level without going through the process of the pain, the process of the hurt, the process of suffering. But look at somebody and say, when you finish this process. Again, I want you to begin to keep seven in mind. And I chose Jeremiah, the 18th chapter, because you have to understand one is one God, eight is new beginning, which means God is beginning a new work in you. Y'all missed it. I said God is doing a new work inside of you. Look at somebody and say, God ain't through with me yet. He's doing something new in me. I just got to go through the process. It ain't for me to try to figure it out. It ain't for me to try to understand it. I just need to know that he's taking me through a certain process, and I just got to praise him in the midst. Because eight is a new beginning, eight plus one is nine, which means birthing. So it means before you get to who you're really supposed to be, oh God, there's a process. Even when a woman is pregnant, she goes through a pregnancy process. She has to go through pain. She has to go through suffering. And the last thing she do in the midst of a process is push. Oh God. Look at somebody and say, don't stop pushing. Oh, but you got to understand this process. And now I stopped at the seventh verse because you got to understand, I know you may be tired of me saying, but you know that seven in the prophetic numerals means completion. And it means now that I could not start with seven, but I had to end with seven, because God said, why did you have to keep hearing seven is completion? I thought last year things was going to be completed. I thought last week things was going to be completed. But now God said, I have to keep reminding you that every step of the process, I'm going to complete a phase. Y'all missing it. See, just because he completed something last year, that was that process. But now you're going through something different, and this is a whole nother process that you ain't never experienced before, but yet you can relate to it. So now that you can relate to the certain type of process where you are, you have to understand that God always makes seven show up. Because he says seven will always be there, because I'm going to remind you that I'm going to complete the work in you. I'm going to complete the assignment. I'm going to complete the process concerning your life. Look at somebody and say, he's going to complete the process. Why did I stop with seven? Because the last thing God going to do is finish it. Oh my God. But if you look at 18 verse 1, let me go back and rephrase this for you. It says, then the word, The word came unto Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause thee to hear my word. So now you have the prophet Jeremiah. You have to understand that there's a call and an anointing on his life, but now he has to go through a process. See, even though God already formed him from his mother's womb, even though God already ordained him to be a prophet, he still had to go through a process in order for him to walk in his calling. Y'all ain't saying anything. So what you are dealing with right now is only a process for you to begin to walk in your anointing, a process for you to walk in the call, because God has already chosen you. He's already predestined that for your life. You just got to go through the proper chain of command. So now you have Jeremiah. He says, the Lord said, go down to the potter's house, and it's there that I will cause thee to hear my word. So once God calls you, you have to make a decision now to go through the process. He didn't ask the question of why I need to go to the potter's house. What does the potter's house have to do with my call? Don't worry about what it got to do with your call. Just go through the process. Because anytime God calls you, he takes you through the process. Y'all ain't got it. Guess what? Nudge your neighbor and say, guess what? You may not think you called. People done told you you ain't called. But guess what? Everybody is called for something. Oh, it may be called to the usher boy. It may be called to a prison ministry. But whatever you've been called to, you have been called to something. And when God calls you, he takes you through a process. And sometimes that process ain't always what we expect it to be. And sometimes it can be our worst desire. But yet the thing that's our worst desire can be best beneficial to us. Oh, I wish I had a Holy Ghost church that could understand that all the hell you was going through, all the fussing and all the nickering and all the backbiting you've been dealing with the devil, you got to realize it's a part of the process of you becoming who God created you to be. So the first thing he did, he said, arise. So you got to make a decision. Are you just going to sit there in the midst of it and just let whatever happened begin to happen? But Jeremiah made up in his mind. He said, I got to arise. He said, then when I went down in verse 3, then when I went down to the potter's house, and behold, a wrought. He worked a wrought or work on the wheels. So now after he's made the decision to go through the process, he goes into the potter's house and he notices now that the man is working a wrought on the wheel. Now you have to keep in mind who you're talking about in this scripture. You're talking about Jeremiah, the same one that was formed from his mother's womb and was called even before he even knew anything. The same one that was called, and the same one in chapter 1 of Jeremiah when he began to tell him, Jeremiah, what do you see? Y'all ain't saying nothing. Oh, see, sometimes God will just take you through the process of you seeing things that just don't look right. Sometimes he'll just test you by what your eyes revelate to your spirit. So sometimes he will take you and say, what do you see in the spirit? And Jeremiah in chapter 1 began to tell him, he said, I see now this, that, and the other. I see a pot that is boiling but turned northward. I see this. So in other words, you got to look at the thing that you are seeing and revelate it to your spirit. But the problem with a lot of us, we don't see anything. So therefore, God is not speaking to our spirit. Oh, my God, my God. But he said, now, after he saw, see, now you got to understand, God would not tell him to go somewhere where he needs to observe until he first was obedient in chapter 1. So it's not until he proved himself and got past the process of seeing the pot turn over. Oh, God. Y'all missed it. Oh my God. Are you getting what I'm saying? It's not until he's seen the pot turned over that he got past that process to get to the potter's house. Y'all missing the revelation. So you got to understand, God wants you to get comfortable with seeing things just turned upside down in your life. He wants you to be comfortable with stuff just pouring over and running all over the place. He wants you to understand what wasting really is. He wants you to understand and get used to in your spirit of stuff being turned upside down. Check this out. You can't get past the process of things being turned upside down. So God cannot send you to the place of what you saw get turned upside down until you had the revelation of what was upside down. You missed it. You notice the last thing in chapter 1 that he showed Jeremiah was the pot that was turned over. You got to understand the same pot that was turned over. The potter made it out of clay. Y'all missed it. The pot was made of clay, so it was turned over. So after you and got to the point where you're used to things getting turned over, the same thing that made that problem, God would then send you to the creator where it started, where it was made, so that you can see why.
Oh my God.
He sent him to a potter's house. But the last thing he shows him was a pot that was overturned. See, you can't understand why things are upside down until you get to the next process where you begin to go to the potter's house, because then he's going to make you understand the reason it was the pot turned over. The reason now, because everything you're going through is for something God going to give you later. I said again, everything that you're dealing with, everything that you're going through right now, is only for God to set you up for the bigger picture later. Oh, you may see it as being upside down pot right now, but I'm going to show you how I make the pot. I'm going to show you why you had to see it upside down. So when I show you, then you can begin to speak and understand and tell my people what thus saith the Lord. They said in verse 3, then I went down to the potter's house, and behold, he wrought a work on the wheels. It's on the wheel. You got to look at yourself just like that pot of clay. You may have been a point in chapter 1 where you was the pot turned over. Feel like you're going to give up everything. But if you can just get back to where you started from, if you can just get to the creator's house, y'all missing it. If you can just get back to the hand of the creator and let him pick you back up and put you on the wheel and say, I know you got some imperfections. I know you got some things that are messed up. I know you're going through a process right now, but part of the process is for you to pick yourself back up and get back on my wheel and let me form you into who I've called you to be. Oh, go and look at somebody and say, I'm going through my process right about now. Stop looking at me like I done lost my mind. It's just a process that I'm going through. But he wrought a work on the wheels, and the vessel was made of clay, and it was marred in the hand of the potter, so he made it again another vessel. You see that? That answers the problem. Why do I got to keep going through this again and again and again and again? Oh, because he said, you got to understand, God said, what you thought was perfected ain't perfected yet. What you thought you was delivered from, you fully ain't got delivered of yet. What you thought was out of you is still in you. Oh, it don't matter if it ain't nothing but a little bit of it. God said, I'm not going to put you into the next process until I begin to get every imperfection that's causing you to hold yourself back outside of you so that you can walk into your calling, your anointing. God said, I got to get it all out, because you're still marred. You still ain't got it all together yet. You still a wretch undone. So I still got to keep you on the wheel. That's why you got to go through it again. That's why you got to go over and over and over. Oh my. Oh my. But God, I'm tired of being on the potter's wheel and being that clay. I think I got it all together. I think I'm ready to go to the next process. And God said, no, you don't see that lump that's sticking out right there. Oh, you don't see that little bit of pride that is still rising up. You don't see the attitude that's still around the corner. You don't see the one devil that's on the way that's trying to tear down the anointing. So I got to keep you on the wheel to make sure. But he says, he made the clay again another vessel. And it seemed good to the potter to make. Ain't that something? Look what that scripture says. It said it seemed good for the potter to make, which means God don't mind forming you and molding you into who you're supposed to be. Ain't that something that God don't get tired of working on you, that God don't get tired of keeping his hand on you? See, that's why you got to put your trust in him and not man, because man will let you fall. Man will let you go before anything unright and undone. But one thing about God, God will keep his arms and his hands of protection all around you until you are ready. He made it again, and it was good to the potter to make it. Then the word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of Israel, cannot I do with you as this potter? If I can make this over again, because it don't look right in my eyes, don't you think I can do the same thing with you? If something don't look right, I got to demolish it. I got to destroy it. I got to start the whole process over again. Sometimes that's why you're always uprooting foundations, because there's some imperfections in it. Y'all ain't saying nothing. You rather God get it right the first time than for you to start building on top of something that you think is ready, and then when you get the building built, then everything begins to crumble, because the very first process ain't been complete yet. Don't begin to rush yourself through the process. Sit there and let God begin to work on you until the level is ready for you to go to the next. But he said, can I do with you as I do with the potter? Behold, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand, O house of Israel. God said, I'm going to hold you real close. I ain't going to let nobody else come in here and touch on you. Y'all missing it. That's why everybody can't lay hands on you except who God has appointed and God has anointed. You're missing what I'm saying. So God is saying, while you on the potter's wheel, while you are going through the process, you got to have some discernment to know who can touch you, who can rub on you, who can form you, who can mold you, who can help you get to the next level to get through the process. But the problem with us, we want everybody touching on us. And when everybody start touching on us, what begin to happen? When God begins to try to progress you to the next level, see, God know how to get the fingerprints off. But some people, when you get to the next level, you got stuff that's attached to you because the people done touched you. Oh, my God. But he says, even though it's a wrought work, I can do the same thing. As the clay is in the potter's hands, so are you in my hands. Whatever you're dealing with, know it's in God's hands. Y'all missed that. I promise you, you understand what I'm teaching, you'll get delivered. Whatever you are dealing with, whatever you've been wrestling with, you just got to know it's in God's hand. All the hell you've been going through, guess what? It's part of the process, and God got the process in his hand. The sickness that's been in your body, guess what? It's still in God's hand. The money problems you're dealing with, it's in God's hand. The people that can't stand who you are, they're in God's hand. All you got to do is continue to go through the process. When you look at the completed verse, verse 7, it says, instantly, within an instant, I shall speak concerning the nation. God want to speak to your situation right where you are. concerning the kingdom. He said, pluck up, pull down, and destroy it. So you got to understand, anything that's not looking like it's supposed to look, God is going to uproot it, pluck it up, and destroy it, and tear it down. Because in the eyes of the Father, no good thing can dwell. That's why you can't go off of the flesh, because the flesh cannot stand with God. Y'all missing what I'm saying? So God said, anything that your flesh created, anything that your flesh did in the process, I got to tear it down, uproot it, pluck it up, and pull it down and destroy it. Oh my gosh. Look at somebody say, he doing it for my good right about now. That thing which he was plucking up, that thing which he was pulling down, everything he had to destroy, it was part of the process. He had to destroy some things. He had to destroy some people out of my life. He had to destroy some money, destroy some problems, all because it was part of my process. It's part of the process. Look at this. Turn quickly over now to chapter 29 of Jeremiah, 29th chapter, starting at the 10th verse. I'm going to set some order to some stuff now. The 29th chapter, the 10th verse. The 10th verse is part of the process. You going through hell is part of the process. Oh, God. You wrestling against the principalities is part of the process. And what you got to understand, if you can't handle that process, then you can never be made in his image. See, you're not made in his image until he finished working on you. Because he know what you're supposed to look like. That's why he forms you. Oh, y'all missing this. He know exactly what you're supposed to look like. That's why you got to let him form you and mold you. Because he know what he looks like. And he said, if you just let me take you through the process of looking like your daddy, you will understand life will get a lot easier for you if you just let me take you through this process. It says, for thus saith the Lord, that after 70 years been accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you. Look at this. And I go to that 7 again. It says 70 years after I tried to complete some things in your life and I had to show back up in Babylon. Now he's saying, I will show up and visit you. Look at somebody and say, I'm about to have a visitation of the Holy Ghost. Y'all ain't saying it, but look at somebody like you don't really mean it and say, I'm about to have a visitation of the Holy Ghost. Because it's not until I get ready to have a visitation that I can get through this process. Because when God shows up to visit you, it's gonna make it worth the wait. It's gonna make it worth the battle in the hell you've been going through. Oh, but I will visit you and I will perform my good word toward you. Did you hear that? It says, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place. There it is again. I got to go back and do my first works over again. I got to go back to the place where I thought I was delivered from. I got to go back to the same place where I knew I should have been further along by now, because God is causing me to return to this place for a reason, because he didn't finish the process. So sometimes God say, you look like you're there yet. You look like you already got it together. But you got to come back to the same place so that I can finish the process. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm getting ready to go back to the place so he can finish it. If I have to go back to the crack house, if I have to go back to the streets, I'm going to go back and let him finish what he want to finish in me. Because it's not until he complete the process that I can walk in a true anointing, that I can walk in a true call, that I can begin to be holy and blessed of the Lord. I got to go back. Because when I go back, he's going to perform his good word toward me. Oh, God. toward me. And in verse 11 it says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. Oh my God, Jesus. He said, I know the thoughts that I have for you. I know the plans that I got for you, and they're only thoughts of peace and not evil. So what you are going through and what God is taking you through, the process that God got you going in right now, is not an evil process. It ain't gonna kill you right there. I dare you to high five two people and say, what you're going through ain't gonna kill you, because it's not evil that God is putting towards you. But he said, I'm going to begin to do this because I need to give you an expected end. So guess what, baby? Your future going to be so bright that you're going to need sunglasses when you're done. By the time you get out of here and get to the place where God wants you to be at, your expected end is greater than your beginning. Look at somebody and say, wait till you see the finished product. Oh, you're missing what I'm saying. Say, wait till you see the finished product. See, I'm not under attack. I'm just under construction. Right where you are, you feel like you're going through a battle and everything is attacking you. But you're not under attack. You're just under construction. Just put your hard head on and say, I got to get ready for God to work on me. I got to get my tool belt so that I can get ready to let God begin to do some work. If he got to nail me against the wall and get this mess out of me, so what? It's gonna work to my good. If he gotta put up some caution tape to keep people from getting in my space, it'll be all right, because my expected end, my expected end, it's greater than my present process. So you gotta understand that, just like God building a brand new house for you, you gotta understand when he builds the house, when he builds the house, notice the first thing he does is begin to get a foundation. The first thing they do is lay the pavement, because you gotta make sure that it can hold the weight of what's gonna begin to be put where you are. There it is, she got it on the screen. Look what happened. When you begin to build the process, notice now that the only thing you see is the outer part. The only thing you see is a structure or a frame. And God, now you got to understand that even when the structure and the frame there, people can see right through you. So when God is working on you and taking you through the process, you look like you're going to turn out real good, but yet people can still see through you. People can still walk inside of you and come in and out as they want to. My. So that explains why people walk in and out of your life, because God ain't finished with you yet. You ain't seen the finished product, because he's got the blueprints in his hand. And he said, I'm looking at your house. I'm looking at everything I'm supposed to be building, and I'm going by the plans and the blueprints that I have in my hand. And what happens is, he's looking up and saying, how did this get here? This ain't in the blueprint. This ain't in the plans. I didn't write this up. This gonna mess up the whole thing. So we gotta just tear all that out and rebuild it again. We can't build on top of that, because it's not in the blueprints. In other words, you got to go by the plans of God.
Pastor Troy King would love to have you visit the Glory Has Come International Ministries at 1124 Rosewood Avenue, Kannapolis, North Carolina. For any of our messages or service times, visit our website at www.thegloryhascome.com. That's www.thegloryhascome.com, or call 704-612-3360. Thanks again for listening. Now take what you've heard and apply it to your life.